kings and queens, presidents and prime ministers, and members of the public. Prince Harry, Charles's youngest son, attended alone amid continued strained relations. This was not a day for family drama, though, but for pomp and pageantry, deeply imbued with Christian faith. Some of the rituals remain unchanged over 1,000 years. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, led the service.
The coronation oath has stood for centuries and is enshrined in law. Are you willing to take the oath?
The King gave his reply.
I am willing.
For the first time, female bishops took part in the service alongside leaders of other faiths. The Archbishop of Canterbury placed the crown upon Charles's head.
God save the King!
God save the King!
Gun salutes rang out across Britain. In a touching moment, Charles's son, Prince William, pledged his allegiance to the King.
I, William, Prince of Wales, pledge my loyalty to you, and faith and truth I will bear unto you, as your liege man of life and limb. So help me God.
Here in London, and in cities, towns and villages across Britain, people gathered to watch this ancient and extraordinary ceremony. The rain may be falling, but people here are determined that spirits won't be dampened. Many felt they witnessed a part of history. Aurelian is a fan of the royal family who travelled from France.
Once in a life, you know, it's magical. I mean, it's such an incredible event.
The King and Queen returned to Buckingham Palace in the gold state coach built in 1762. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
A new report by UNICEF says it will take about 300 years to totally eliminate the practice of child marriage. That's well after the target of 2030 set by the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Still, some progress has been made. UNICEF says the percentage of women aged 20 to 24 who were married as children fell from 23% to 19% over the past 10 years. Nankali Maksud, UNICEF Senior Advisor on Child Protection, tells my colleague Carol Van Dam, the number of child marriages is still the highest in South Asia, home of 45% of the world's child brides, but outgoing crises like armed conflicts and climate change-related disasters are expected to increase the number of child marriages, especially in sub-Saharan Africa.
We know that in Africa today, and we can expect over the next few years, all the way through to 2030, 2050, is that because of the combination of increased population, because of conflict, because of climate change, and other crises that are taking place, sub-Saharan Africa is moving very fast to be the second, you know, continent that's going to be as highly affected or, you know, even more highly affected than South Asia.
What can communities do to try to counteract that? Some of these communities, they really follow their traditions and cultures, and in their culture, it's not unusual at all for girls to be married at young age.
So yes, indeed, we've seen that the traditions, cultures, and beliefs play a strong part. And of course, patriarchy and gender equality is really very much at the core of what's driving child marriage. But increasingly, I also want to say that issues, you know, as we've picked up in the report, such as just plain old poverty, the decisions that families have to make in terms of how they're going to survive are playing a significant role in terms of driving child marriage. And so the cases that we have, the cases that we will continue to have in terms of child marriage are very much driven, you know, by poverty. In terms of addressing social norms, UNICEF is doing a lot of work with religious leaders, with traditional leaders, and increasingly now with women's groups, feminist groups, who are really playing a key role in terms of, you know, challenging these beliefs, challenging these religions, these cultures, to be able to try and roll back those type of beliefs around child marriage, and also just put more value in girls, which has not been there from before, except in terms of seeing a girl's value around the monetary factor that she can be able to bring to a family.
Nankali Maksud is UNICEF Senior Advisor on Child Protection. She spoke to my colleague Carol Van Dam from Johannesburg, South Africa. This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Forte, in Washington. Coming up in the second half, Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley. And that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The 8 teams for the 2023 Basketball Africa League playoff have been confirmed following the conclusion of the Nike Conference held in Cairo, Egypt. Cape Town Tigers secured the last spot for the playoffs after beating City Oilers of Uganda 80-70 on Saturday. The South African champions advanced to the playoffs for the second time in a row. Other Nike Conference teams heading to the next round include champions Petro de Luanda, Al Hakli of Egypt, and Ferroviário de Beira of Mozambique. In table tennis news, Egyptians Hana Goda and Omar Assar are the 2023 ITTF Africa Cup women's and men's singles champions, following scintillating displays at the Moi International Sports Center Kasarani Indoor Sports Gymnasium in Nairobi, Kenya. In the men's category, Egyptians Omar Assar defeated Nigerian legend Arnaud Quadri 4-1 in the best-of-seven men's singles final. In winning the Nairobi edition of the Continental Cup, Assar chalked up his 10th career ITTF Africa title, having won the 2018 edition in Nairobi.
Always share training together, and almost there are no surprises in the game. We try to change a little bit there and here and there, but of course, like I said, he's a great player, great fighter, and he's also our African ambassador, and I respect him a lot.
In the women's category, Hana Goda staged a stunning comeback to defend the women's singles title with a convincing 4-3 victory over Olympian and multiple winner Dina Meshrev. And also athletics, where Kenya is hoping to build on its successful hosting of the World Athletics Intercontinental Tour Series by beating for the Premier Diamond League meeting. Morocco's capital, Rabat, is currently the only African city to stage the Diamond League Track and Field Elite one-day series, which features 14 host cities on four continents. Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tuwei said the country had made an application to World Athletics for the upgrade of the second-tier Intercontinental Tour Series, whose fourth edition will be held in Nairobi on May 13th to become a Diamond League meet.
We would like to see that we get this one upgraded to Diamond League, and I think it is being considered. We hope next time when we meet, we'll be talking about Diamond League.
And finally, in football news, two matches were played on Saturday at the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations. Nigeria's Golden Eaglets staged a remarkable fight back to edge out South Africa 3-2 in Constantine to progress to the quarterfinals of the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations, currently holding in Algeria. In the other Group B match played at the Stade du 19 Mai 1956, Emmanuel Nwanza scored an 87th-minute penalty as Zambia beat Group B leaders Morocco 2-1 in Annaba on Saturday, but it was not enough to see them through to the quarterfinals. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. With great regret, you tried untested practice of quiet diplomacy is increasingly being set aside in preference to the loud and public media diplomacy. Yet, the record will show that quiet diplomacy has produced durable, practical results in the settlement of disputes. Frankly, many governments in dispute would prefer quiet diplomacy because it assures confidentiality and also makes it possible for parties in dispute to give in and also take some in negotiations without concern that they will be criticized by hardliners in their own countries or in the side of their own disputes. This situation is, of course, not outside the realm of media diplomacy, but it is often the case that media diplomacy results in endless bargaining without much result. One can see also the situation in Sudan, where for the fourth year we are in ongoing fighting, pitting interest in becoming the chief broker of agreements. And these parties, the two opposing generals, seem to have become adept at manipulating this search to become the chief broker of settlements. If you look at what has happened, it's very strange. One power will triumph that they have agreed to get ceasefire, and the parties have agreed, and another will say they have been able to do it, but then there is no ceasefire. Yet, though there are no ceasefire, people still argue that they are the ones going to arrange a ceasefire. There are times when we hear from the media that the South Sudanese have agreed to host a conference in Juba involving the two parties. Other times we hear that talks are going to be held in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, either to deal with the quartet, which means Egypt, Saudi Arabia, England and UK, or a bilateral pressure from Saudi Arabia and United States. Now we see a situation where if you look at the Horn of Africa, where it's prone to disputes or crises, many nations are sending their own envoys without coordination, all with the aim of claiming that they made the peace. You could see also the quiet diplomacy could produce results. Recently, international community was so surprised to learn of the normalization of relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran in Beijing. But what was a surprise to the international community was a progress of quiet diplomacy that lasted weeks, if not months, with the assistance of some of the Gulf countries that resulted in the solution announced in Beijing. Then the question must be, where do we go? The United Nations, which have had many, many successes with the practice of quiet diplomacy over the decades, should be able to meet with Security Council members to urge that they try to coordinate whatever efforts they want for search for peace, and they should try to speak with one voice. This is a better procedure than this useless competition to make peace. Thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent. I love you.
music queen, Jeff Korea Fanta, featuring the Lady Bobo. Alex, Alex.
pass, check down for you, they make man and take down. Anytime you pass, you copy them, even they clowns. Fine, fine, girl, make the company even shit friends. Like that's gonna move, I write that with a zoom. For see how they come to me, that's gonna do. No, 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 easy. Girl, you shall be teasy. Me now on a comfort time, me not on a CC. Slow wine, slow wine. Look what you, they draw signs. For man and a fish, so baby, I can score a line. All fine, no mind. Look what they blow, mind. You body not like women, baby, you, they flow fine.
Fire, fire.
That was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music. Nightline Africa here, the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peterson, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, if a snake fails to show its venom, little kids will use it in tying firewood. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa. I need you, I need you.